Welcome to church this morning. My name is Daniel Rankin, and I'm one of our student pastors here at the OKC campus. I serve alongside our other middle school and high school pastors to guide and direct and oversee our student ministries here at this campus, our location. Yeah, it's a fun job. And it is a joy. It is a joy to get to do, just like Avery was saying earlier, to get to see the future of our church and just how well established and in what good hands it is in. It's a joy, and it is vital. The work is vital. Statistics say that of those who will make a decision to follow Jesus, something like 80% will make that decision before they turn 18. And so the work we do in student ministry is important work for the kingdom, and it's just fun. Like, it's fun, the things we get to do, the places we get to go. I've been a student pastor for 13 years, and some of the most fun I've had has been under the umbrella of being a student pastor. Some of those places we get to go are really interesting. For instance, caves. Has anyone ever been caving? Yeah, a few hands. And when I say caving, I don't mean like the nice caves you might go to, in Branson, a nice, well-lit, nice stairs going down, nice paved way through. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about like adventure caving. One summer I was an intern and in college, and the church I was interning at, they took an adventure camp for their high school students, which meant that we went to West Virginia and we did things like whitewater raft and rappel and zip line and high ropes course and cave. And that youth pastor gave me 10 students to lead that week. And we went to this cave. And as we stood at the opening, the guide, who, by the way, was also a college student, I'm like, okay, here we go. He hands us all hard hats, like helmets, with lights on the front of it. And as we go in, it's not just like a nice, easy way through. There's like boulders we're like climbing over. And at one point, I had to like get down on my stomach and like crawl through, and I could feel the cave on both sides. I mean, it was intense. And we get to the point in this cave where there's like this long corridor. And the guide kind of lines us all up against the wall and spaces us out about 5 or 10 feet or so from each other. And he says to us, okay, on the count of three, I'm gonna have you turn off your lights. And after just a minute or so, I'm gonna give you a minute to adjust, and then I'm gonna ask that you take three steps in the dark. I'll count to three again. And so sure enough, he counts 1, 2, 3, and I mean, just lights out, total darkness. And I don't know how many of you have ever experienced like total darkness. I'm not talking about like laying in your bed at night, like, you know, light still coming through the windows. No, not a crevice, not a crack for light to seep through, not as much as an LED light on the back of those helmets. Nothing at all was there. And it was complete darkness. And your eyes, they do funny things in that moment. Like, my eyes are like kind of looking splotchy. It's like they're trying to make something out of nothing. There was nothing to see. And after just a moment, he starts counting again. 1, 2, 3. And I take three of the most terrifying steps I've ever taken in my life. And it's crazy because, of course, before I had my light on, I could see there's no obstacles, nothing. But those three steps in the dark were just terrifying. And that's how it is in the dark. I don't know how many of you remember what it's like to be scared of the dark. Maybe you've got kids or grandkids that you've kind of led through that. I've got two young boys myself. And at night, it's one of those deals, I can hear them before I see them, right? Like they're out the door and I can hear their feet like running. And here they come, scared of the dark. The dark can be a scary place. And the truth is today, that's what many are walking through as they try to walk through a dark, dark world. That's how many are going about life. In John 8, there is a story about a woman caught in adultery who's been brought to Jesus, who's been come face to face with the darkness of this world. She's caught in sin, and yet Jesus shows an incredible amount of mercy and grace to this woman, kind of like he does to you and I. And just before the story ends, her condemners had all left, and it was just Jesus and the woman. And Jesus looks at her and he says, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. And then Jesus says something really unique. He gives us a statement. He does this several times in the book of John, these I am statements, these identity statements. And here's what he says. Verse 12, Jesus spoke to the people once more and he said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. Jesus says, look, I am the light of the world. And the unique thing about light is that it permeates the story of Scripture from start to finish, from beginning to end. And if Jesus, as we believe he is the overarching story of Bible, is a central piece to Scripture, and he called himself light, then naturally, light should be central to the story of Scripture. And in fact, if you were to research mentions of the word light or things that refer to light in Scripture, you'll find over 100 verses that deal with God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, verses that deal with Scripture, verses that deal with you and I. And I think what you would come to find is that this story, the story of light, is interweaved throughout the entire book, and it helps us to understand what is going on in the story of Scripture. And so let's take a look at this story, the story of light. You see, every good story has different chapters, or at least I think so, and they lead up to a dramatic ending, but they also have a beginning. A good story has a start, the thing that sets us up. And so what I want to do with our time today is I want us to pretend that we're going to take the story of Scripture and the story of light in Scripture and dwindle it down to four big chapters, starting with God, the first chapter, the beginning. And I don't mean the beginning as in like Genesis, I mean the beginning as in God. God is light. 1 John 1:5 says this. It says, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. See, God literally is the source of all light. He in and of himself is light. He doesn't need anything to illuminate his world like we do. We need lights or sun outside or the moon. He needs nothing. He is light. And he is the father of light. James 1 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. You see, God is light, therefore he casts no shadow because no light is needed to shine on him. And furthermore, he shines, therefore he has no variation within him. He's never changing. His goodness is unchanging and perfect. So he is light, he is a father of light, which means that he created light. And there we go to Genesis 1, where God says, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness and called the light day and the darkness night. And there was evening and there was morning that first day. Later on in Genesis 1, he creates lights in the heavens, the sun, the moon, the stars. I mean, just what an incredible spectacle that must have been. Imagine for just a second that when God says, let there be light, that this new creation emanates out of him at 186,000 miles per second, right? The speed of light. Just boom. That's some fast words. So here in the beginning of the story, we see that light originates from God. He is the source of light. And that light, it has a role to play, which brings us to chapter 2. Chapter 2 is direction. You see, light guides. It guides. And in the Old Testament, it guided the Israelites out of Egypt. In Exodus chapter 13, verse 21, it says, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light that they might travel by day and by night. It led them out of Egypt. And then Scripture itself is a light that guides us in a dark world. Psalm 119 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Light is the greatest guide that you can have in darkness. And scripture is the greatest guide you can have in this world. Back in that cave in West Virginia, it only took about 1 second once I flipped my light back on for my mind to settle itself, right? To calm itself, to go, everything's gonna be okay. You're gonna get out of here. But without that light, I could have never hoped to find my way out of that cave. And walking without Jesus and without scripture in our world is like caving without a lamp. You see, you and I, we live in a dark world. Think of the last couple of weeks of our world. You could probably spit out one or two examples of just how dark our world is. And chances are, it hasn't just stayed out there. Some of that darkness has probably crept into you at times. And you've experienced the consequences in your own life of this dark world. And the only way to find your way through this world is by connecting with this lamp, with scripture, and with Jesus as your guide. You see, one of my favorite experiences as a youth pastor is watching students fall in love with the story of scripture and the effect and the change that that has on their world, on the way that they walk in this dark world. They need scripture just as much as you and I do, and they need to connect with this lamp in this dark world. Which brings us to chapter 3, which is near. The light came to us. You see, the light is Jesus here. In John 1, verses 4 through 5, it says, in him, in Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light came to this world because it is dark. The light knew this dark world needed the light, and the world was ruled by darkness, but God sent the light to shine into that darkness and bring it back to the brightness it once had. Right? Make no mistake about it, darkness is powerful. It has ruled our world for a long time, but darkness has no power in the face of light. John says, light entered the world and darkness has not overcome it. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you have the light that leads to life. That's why Jesus came, to give you light in the midst of the darkness around you. Which brings us to the final chapter in this story of light, which is hope. Hope, this light, it gives us hope. That's what we're all looking for, right? Hope and a future. That is what the world is looking for. People want hope, and that hope is found in Jesus, the light of the world. And people want a future, and that future is not found in politics or power or prestige or money or anything else except for Jesus, the light of the world. That's where our hope and future is found. What's incredible is that Revelation gives us a picture of what this hope will lead to as we trust in Christ. You see, God may have created lights to govern the day and night, but in eternity, they will no longer be needed. Here's what Revelation has to say. It says, in the city where God's children will live has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light, the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. Can you imagine? There'll be no night there. I think back to my kids running through the house scared. There will be no night there. I think of how dark our world is, and there will be no night there. And that is a good story. God is light and the creator of light. The light is a guide, and it came to the world to guide us through the darkness. And God sent his son to be the light to this dark world so that we can have hope and a future in the light for all eternity. That's a good story. And in a good story, it ought to do something in you. It ought to move you. It should change you. I think of the Pixar movie Up. If you haven't watched it, I challenge you to go home this afternoon and watch just the opening montage of Up and not cry. I mean, it's moving. And a good story does that. It moves us. And this incredible four chapter story, it doesn't just end there. It invites us into it. You see, God includes us in this story. You heard it read earlier, Matthew 5:14-16. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. And in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, what's incredible about this passage here in Matthew is that this is not talking about Jesus. This is not one of his followers or someone saying to him, Jesus, you are the light of the world. No, it's Jesus saying to his followers, no, you are now the light of the world. Those of us who follow Jesus, who've been indwelled with the Holy Spirit, we are now the light of the world, and light stands out in darkness. Did you know, according to live science, that on a clear night, without any other light pollution, a single candle flame can be seen 30 miles away. 30 miles. That's from here to Norman. Light stands out, and you get to be a beacon of light in this dark world. So what are you doing with it? What are you doing with your light? Can I tell you something? As a student pastor, our students need your light. Our kids need your light. They need you to show them a way through this dark world. They need you to guide them. As mothers, as fathers, as grandparents, as small group leaders or volunteers in our kids' ministry, they need your example in this dark world. And not just them, but people in general. Right? People are trying to make sense of this world. Kind of like my eyes in that cave, trying to see something that isn't quite there unless you are, unless your light is guiding them. So my question is this, what are you doing with your light? We get to be a beacon that shows people the way in a dark world. C.S. Lewis said, I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. And our light in this world is a way that people can see through it. Is your life like a lamp in a dark cave? As people spend more time with you, are they able to see more clearly this world? You see, some of you are walking in darkness today. And your eyes are trying to adjust. They're trying to figure out. They're doing everything they can to get through. Maybe you're stumbling. And I have good news for you this morning. Jesus can be your light. He can light up your world. His light shines in this dark world. It can shine into your dark heart. It can light your path. It can give you a hope and a future, and in it there is no darkness, only the perfect, unchanging light and love of God. I want to encourage you this morning to get to know that light in a fresh way, the light of Jesus, the light of Scripture, the story of the light of the world. It's more than just a book. It's more than just a story. It is the story. The story of God's love and his grace and his mercy and his light in a dark world, and it can give you a hope and a future. I want to leave you with one last verse as our benediction this morning as we close. It's from Colossians 1, and Paul says this, may you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share and the inheritance of the saints in light. God, I thank you so much for the truth of Scripture, for the light of this world that is your Son. I pray this morning that we all see more clearly our lives through him. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.